And from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we welcome you in on a snowy Thursday to the gym class here on KGYM. Be careful out there, some slippery spots as you travel your way on the commute home here. If you are indeed at work, I know a lot of people aren't, but hey, we are here bringing you quality entertainment here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, as we get our local programming block back with you here today intact, although we will be out at 6:30 tonight a little bit early due to men's basketball. You and I with the Mo Valley openers. They take on the SIU Salukis. We'll talk about that with Kevin Lehman coming up and talk about the Mo Valley. Iowa State getting underway tomorrow night in Big 12 play as they will be in action at home at James A. Chilton Coliseum. The Iowa State women getting Big 12 play underway tonight. We'll have it for you at 6:30 on 1600 AM as Iowa State welcomes in the Kansas Jayhawks. And the Iowa women are in Madison tonight as they get ready to open up Big 10 play. And they will take on the Wisconsin Badgers. Iowa has won 17 in a row in that particular series. But more horrible news for the Hawkeye women is Mackenzie Meyer is now going to be out for an indefinite period. She broke a bone in her hand at practice, and she will not be available at least for 2 weeks. But we start things off with football once again, much like we talked about last night and after the final gun, Mark. And welcome in, and everybody still, in Hawkeye fandom anyway, still on cloud nine after last night's touchdown win over the Boston College Eagles.
Yeah, good afternoon. It just seems like we were in the studio a few hours ago, and I guess we were, for the post-game show. Not quite as short a night as our colleague Todd Brommelkamp had. He is back already.
He's back.
And he will be hosting his show with Kyle Mann this afternoon. Alex Kuhn, as you mentioned, is in Memphis. Had a great visit with Todd before the show, and a couple stories about the bowl trip, and I'm sure you'll hear more between 4 and 6:30. And I think, yeah, a lot of Iowa fans woke up today and felt really pleased about the way the season ended. A lot of folks, if we had had a show at halftime yesterday, I think it either would have been crickets or it would have been very lively, because a lot of folks weren't very happy with that first half. In which Boston College gained almost 300 yards, but only held a one touchdown lead. And Iowa just made some adjustments. The weather deteriorated. The Iowa defense came up with a couple turnovers, limited Boston College to fewer than 100 yards, and Iowa's offense did just enough to pull out a 7-point victory and get that five-game bowl losing streak off its back.
Yeah, and as we said last night, plenty of heroes to go around for the Hawkeyes, but at halftime it looked plenty bleak last night, although Iowa was only down by 7 at 17-10, but couldn't get off the field with the defense. Boston College was terrific as far as their down conversions was concerned. Iowa wasn't moving the ball. Aside from the one turnover that went to a field goal early on, but Iowa didn't even get a yard on that particular possession when they had it inside the 10-yard line. And the first of the many brilliant Akram Wadley special teams plays last night got Iowa in position to get a touchdown. And it was interesting reading things from last night from Todd, from Mark Morehouse, from other people that cover the Iowa Hawkeyes, how Akram Wadley ended up on special teams. It was just LeVar Woods saying one day, hey, you know, the guy's telling him, hey, Coach Woods wants you. You're in. So that's, you know, it's not a Hollywood script or anything like that, but that's the way it all came about as far as Akram Wadley returning kicks last night.
We've got some audio from head coach Kirk Ferentz. Thanks to Todd Brommelkamp, he collected the audio last night, and Kyle Mann editing it last night and today. But there's a lot of seniors who contributed, from Wadley to Josie Jewell to Josh Jackson to Drake Kulik, who scored the winning touchdown. Right on down the line, the seniors are very instrumental, and Kirk spoke to that.
For the seniors, they've been a part of, you know, really the last 3 years, what they experienced in 2015, and how they kind of rebuilt your program in some ways, and then now to share this moment with them. What was that like for you after the game?
That's the best part of what we do is the players, you know. And by my count, it's 28 wins for these guys the last 3 years. So, you know, I think the thing that makes it better than anything is just, again, the ups and downs that we went through. And we've had some bumps in the road, some disappointments, that type of thing. But these guys kept pushing forward. Certainly there were some times this year where everybody could have gotten discouraged. But, you know, I give those guys a lot of credit. We've got a lot of underclassmen doing a good job, too. But the guys in that whole group have just pulled together collectively. They've been good to work with since January, outstanding to work with. And, you know, it's easy to talk about a guy like Josie Jewell, easy to talk about, you know, Neiman, who plays a little bit more quietly, you know, Akram, a marquee guy. But, you know, you think about guys that were injured, you know, Miles not being out there, certainly Boone and Ike. That's tough. And a guy like Dan Gaff, who just works his tail off, I mean, all the time, you know, on the scout team. So, you know, that's the neatest thing about football. We have such a large, diverse group. And, you know, when those guys are working together, it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, it's always tough to say goodbye to your senior class, that's for sure.
Kurt getting a little choked up there at the beginning
for sure.
Of that answer.
Yeah.
And Todd mentioned that last night and others as well, that Kirk did get a little emotional at a couple of different times, especially talking about his seniors and how this group – hey, if you don't think even minor bowls matter, I mean, just take a look and listen, I should say, to what Kirk had to say right there after the win.
Think it didn't matter to Purdue yesterday?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Purdue came through and got that touchdown at the very end, and they get a bowl win to go to 7-6 on the year. And like we said last night, 8-5 sure is a lot better offseason than 7-6 and losing your sixth straight bowl game.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you mentioned it last night, Scott, on the postgame show, that this was very illustrative of this particular game was illustrative of the entire season in terms of ups and downs. You go from the true ups with the Ohio State game to the downs, whatever those might have been, on the Purdue loss at home, what have you. But it takes perseverance. And Kirk said he was very familiar with that in the postgame.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. And that is our phone line. That is also our text line, as well. And, yeah, Kirk had a little bit more to say, like you mentioned, Mark, after the game about that win.
How big a deal was the bowl losing streak, and what kind of difference does it make? This is the first time since 2010 you ended your season with victory. Is that a big deal?
That's probably a bigger deal, quite frankly. None of these guys had anything to do with the games that we haven't won, you know. And you know, so it's kind of like, you know, every game's a new discussion, every season's a new discussion, but one thing that is good is when finishing with a win. I don't think there's any question about that, and it's a couple levels. First of all, most importantly, is to give those seniors that we referenced a little while ago, give them a really, you know, good memory to leave on. And I don't think there's a college player that doesn't remember their last game, whether it was a bowl game or they didn't get a chance to play in one. So that's really special. And then, you know, what it does in terms of hopefully, you know, teaching the younger guys, you know, just the value of doing all the things you have to do during the month of December to get ready for a bowl game. So hopefully we'll reinforce that, and maybe next year when we talk about it, assuming we can earn a bowl invitation again, you know, maybe it'll have a little bit more meaning, a little bit more gravity.
Kirk Ferentz after that win last night, very interesting, of course, and this is how fandom changes, especially in 2017/2018 on social networking. Everybody went from, oh, this team has got so many major problems at halftime, to after the game, everyone's looking ahead to 2018. This could be the year.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting how it all plays out in fandom out there? But, you know, taking a look ahead to 2018, I know Chad Lystico, the Des Moines Register, put out what he thinks could be a two deep starting next year. And we were talking about that in the sports office before we went on the air today, and not a bad two deep if you like take a look at it. No, we don't know if Josh Jackson is leaving or coming back. No, we don't know if James Daniels is going to stay or if he is going to go or if other people might not be around next year. Nobody knows how that all plays out, but it's not a bad two deep looking ahead to next year.
At least not a bad starting lineup, and we know the holes. Iowa has to plug in three new starting linebackers, a starting running back, and a couple other spots, but every team goes through that each and every year. Before we turn the page from 2017, we want to ask our poll question today. At KGYMRadio.com, it's a good one. Who or what will you remember most about the 2017 Iowa football season? We give you six choices. Would it be Josie Jewell, Josh Jackson, the bowl victory, blowout wins over Ohio State and Nebraska, the inconsistency from game to game, or the wave? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, sponsor of the poll question, located next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Great question and a lot of good answers. I don't think you can go wrong with any answer right there. I mean, how do you not choose a Josie Jewell or a Josh Jackson or differentiate one from the other? The bowl victory was certainly big. It's going to be interesting to see what people are going to remember from the 2017 Iowa football season out there. As the Hawkeyes get the win last night, 27-20 over Boston College. Akram Wadley, the MVP of that particular ball game. Iowa State, we are less than 48 hours away from the Cyclones kicking it off in Memphis. The news today out of Memphis, it is officially a sellout at the Liberty Bowl for the second time in the last 3 years. As the game on Saturday between Iowa State and Memphis, there are no tickets remaining if you were thinking about making a last-second trip plan to go down there. You're going to have to find other methods to pick up your tickets. But the Iowa State fans are there in full force from what we see today and social networking and around. Graceland overrun by Cardinal and Gold today down in Memphis.
I understand Busch Light has been delivered to several downtown
or whatever
establishments.
Or whatever is your drink of choice, whatever the case may be. But yeah, they're having a good time down there. And we're going to check in with Alex Kuhn. He's our man down there at the Liberty Bowl. Of course, Alex, a very unique situation if you don't know this background. And I'm sure if you're a regular listener to the TV show with Alex Kuhn or our program, you know that Alex's brother, of course, plays right guard for the Memphis Tigers and a very, very good football player. And of course, we cover the Iowa State Cyclones. So Alex is in a very unique spot down there.
Yeah, Gabe, number 71, starting right guard for Memphis. And I wouldn't normally watch a lot of Memphis, but since Alex, we're all friends, and I wanted to check in on a few Memphis games. Gabe is good, and he's either going to be a late-round draft pick or a preferred free agent and get a chance to make an NFL ball club. But it'd be interesting to see what happens, how Iowa State defenses Memphis. A lot of times Iowa State has gone rush three, drop seven with Joel Lanning, kind of a spy. And Memphis has an extremely explosive offense. Leaky defense, but extremely explosive offense. And that's going to be interesting to see how Iowa State can defense them.
Yeah, not the greatest defense in the world. And this could be a high-scoring Liberty Bowl, so we will see. We'll talk with Alex about that coming up in just a little bit. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman around the corner here and talk a little bit of college hoops, because now we kind of transfer and kind of go from the football season to the basketball season a little bit. Big 12 men's and women's play getting underway tonight and tomorrow. Mo Valley got underway last week. UNI gets underway tonight. Big 10 women get underway tonight. We mentioned the really sad news. Mackenzie Meyer now breaking a bone in her hand for the Iowa women. So two starters are now out for Lisa Bluter and the Iowa women. They go to Madison tonight to take on the Wisconsin Badgers at 7 o'clock. Iowa's won 17 in a row against the Wisconsin Badgers. Some have been very close, but 17 in a row, and I'm sure that is a fact not lost.
Darn near going back to the Robin Threed era from was at Wisconsin.
You're right.
The former Cedar Rapids Jefferson grade.
Going way back there. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Amanda Olinger is expected to get the start tonight, the former Jefferson and Linmar product, who will get her first start, it looks like, tonight as Iowa will try to win. Iowa State will try to go to 7-5 as the Cyclones. They need a big, big 12 season. Probably going to have to finish in the top three, and that's going to be very, very difficult with Oklahoma and Baylor and Texas, among others, in this league. But they will start tonight against the Kansas Jayhawks, who had a very good non-conference. And we'll have it for you at 6:30. We'll join up with the Cyclone Network tonight for a 6:35 tip-off. That'll be on 1600 AM. And we're going to talk to Kevin Lehman. He's going to have the call, I believe, as it'll be you and I in Southern Illinois going at it tonight in Mo Valley in the opener. Two teams with double-digit wins already.
Yeah, and Iowa closes out its non-conference season tomorrow night as well against Northern Illinois, minus Connor McCaffrey. We'll talk to Kevin about that situation, too. Connor undergoing tonsillectomy. Not sure how long he will be out. He's on the perilous brink of, I think, one game left. He has to redshirt or not, right?
Yeah, this is it. He has no more wiggle room. They announced that before Fran McCaffrey's news conference today. So if he plays one more game, he uses up his freshman season. That's another very good question. We'll ask Kevin Lehman that. Would you play Connor McCaffrey? He's missed so much playing time at this point, or practice time, I should say, at this point. I was getting ready basically to go into the Big Ten season. Do you maybe just shut him down right now and take your chances a little bit and have four more fresh years if he chooses to continue his basketball career? Or with that in mind, do you just roll the dice and say, all right, see you in 2 weeks or so, get you ready to go? That's been the problem. Not so much that he's lost basketball acumen, but that he just hasn't been able to practice and keep the stamina up in order to play Division I college basketball. That's been the problem.
We'll see what Kevin has to say.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that with Kevin Lehman, and we'll also check in with Alex. Checking in with Alex on Beale Street. He might not be on Beale Street, though. Probably watching Navy just boat race Virginia right now. You don't think home field? And I don't want to do this to the Iowa State
folks. It's the military bowl, right?
This is the military bowl. It's in Annapolis. That's very hard to say, by the way. In Annapolis, the home of Navy. And Navy's got a home game right now. They're up 42-7 early in the fourth, and they're about ready to score again. And the Virginia Cavaliers look like they have no reason to be there at this point.
I told you, I don't want to see Navy or Army on my schedule or a future bowl assignment anytime. No. I don't care how good or bad they are.
Yeah.
Tough preparation.
And Army is getting better and better. We are void today of a Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night because there was no bowling last night.
Well, we didn't lose.
We did not lose. That is true. And we did give you the big news yesterday. Mike Bruner, the proud news owner of a brand new baby bowling ball. So we are very, very happy.
He's named it the Destroyer.
Has he?
Yes.
The Destroyer?
The Destroyer.
Oh, very good. There's no problems with that. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Kevin Lehman will join us on the other side, and we'll talk college hoops with you as the Mo Valley season getting ready to kick off. Iowa State kicking off the Big 12 season coming up tomorrow night, and other assorted basketball topics with Kevin. We'll do that when we come back. You're in the Gym Class, KGYM.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
H-E-L-P. Help. It's not a four-letter word. It's something to be proud of. After all, everyone needs support now and then. That's why the Iowa Department of Public Health created YourLifeIowa.org, so you have access to information and treatment for alcohol, drug and gambling problems, suicidal thoughts, and more. From experts dedicated to the health of all Iowans. We're your everyday life support. Visit YourLifeIowa.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
49-7 now, Navy giving it to the Virginia Cavaliers. That at the Military Bowl. Three more games coming up, and should be some better games. Holiday Bowl coming up tonight, and that will be from sunny San Diego. And I know Mike Leach is in Washington State. Everyone's favorite captain here on the program is going to be involved in that one, as they will kick it off later on, I think, against the Michigan State Spartans.
Yep, Virginia Tech and Oklahoma State get together in the Camping World Bowl coming up after the top of the hour. Alamo Bowl, Stanford, and TCU tonight, and Washington State, Michigan State tonight as well.
Yeah, there's some good games. The Bulls, they got some good ones, good matchups. Speaking of good matchups, we're getting ready to kick things off, tip things off as far as the conference basketball seasons are concerned. Yes, we know the Big Ten opened a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago. That was due out of necessity since they moved the Big Ten tournament up a week since it's at Madison Square Garden this year. But Mo Valley and the Big 12 getting underway, and to talk about that and other things, college basketball, we welcome in Kevin Lehman, our college basketball analyst, joins us, I believe, from McLeod Center in snowy Cedar Falls. Kevin, are you up there getting ready for the game tonight?
I'm at center court of the McLeod Center. I just watched two teams do their walkthroughs. I'll tell you what, Scott, when the league play begins, it's like playing your brother in the driveway. Probably like playing your twin brother in the driveway. These teams know each other so well. This is going to be another game that maybe the first to 55 wins it tonight.
Southern Illinois, the opponent for UNI tonight. And, Kevin, it appears it's going to be two four-guard lineups going one against each other, by and large, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of the way college basketball has gone, you know, because of what Golden State Warriors have done. You see a lot of stretch fours, four-guard lineups. And Southern has, you know, two names you'll recognize on their roster. Kavion Pippen is the nephew of Scottie Pippen, and Kavion is 6'10", 250, 7-foot-plus wingspan. He's had trouble staying on the court because of foul problems. He's going to match up against Bennett Cook. That's going to be a nice matchup to watch. And then Sean Lloyd Jr. is the nephew of Black Magic that played for Drake back in the day. Lewis Lloyd.
Yeah. Lewis Lloyd. That's some good bloodlines right there.
great bloodlines for Sean. And he's a throwback guard, guys. He's one of those big physical guards that you saw years ago. They'll use him and they'll post him up if they get some smaller of the UNI guards like Lowhouse get switched on to him. They'll put Lloyd into the post.
Yeah, 8-5 Southern Illinois comes in. I aired earlier. I said they had 10 wins, but they are 8-5 coming off their non-conference, and probably not a real marquee non-conference win for this Saluki team. But they're trying to get back to where they were about 5-10 years ago when they were one of the Valley favorites every year, it seemed.
Well, in the early 2000s, I think they had six trips to the NCAA, but that was when the Valley, and I talked to Barry Hinson, he said, this will be the best race since 2006. Now, 2006, the Valley put four teams in the tournament with UNI, Southern, Bradley, Wichita State, and then Missouri State and Creighton were the NIT that year. That was the glory year of the Valley. It won't get back to that, but I look at this Valley race, guys. It's going to be tight with Wichita State exiting. It may be a four-loss league winner this year. And you know, when you and I plays Missouri State, that may be a game for the Valley title when that comes later this year.
You and I has the best RPI in the league. What does that mean at this point, Kevin?
Well, here's what they're doing, Mark. And I give Coach Jake props for doing this. And Illinois State's trying to do the same thing. They're trying to play as strong a schedule they can, get their RPI up, strength of schedule, so when it comes March, and if you don't win the tournament, and that committee is looking at your body of work, you've got wins over top 50 RPI teams, top 100 RPI teams. That usually becomes a deciding factor for an at-large bid. Illinois State's got a high strength of schedule also. They've done it. The rest of the Valley has upgraded their schedule somewhat. And if you're going to get a multiple bids, you've got to, the bottom half of your league's got to be good, especially when we talk about mid-major leagues. It's a different animal in the Big 12 and the Big 10. But for the Valley, you really have to build that resume. Now, for Northern Iowa, Mark, if they would have beat Iowa State and Xavier at home, that would have really gave them you know, a strong look right now, because it's hard to raise your RPI in the Valley once the league season begins, because you're not going to play anybody. There's three teams with an RPI below 100, in Illinois State being one. You and I can't think of the third right
Missouri
now.
Missouri State, yeah.
Oh, Missouri State, yeah. So it's hard to raise that RPI once you get in league play when you're in a mid-major. So you got to do your work outside the league in the non-conference season.
What is the key to you and I and their success in the Mo Valley? Is there just one player? It seems to me Bennett Cook has kind of been the barometer, at least in my opinion anyway. When he has played really well, you and I has beaten Vegas. They've beaten others. When he hasn't played well, you and I has not really fared very well. But do you see anybody else?
Well, I think that's where it starts, because my keys are you got to play inside out. They've got a number of three-point shooters around Bennett Cook, and they're kind of what you call a throwback team, where they're going to distort the defense by throwing it to the post. It's not like a Seth Tuttle who could play all over the court. Cook is an inside guy who's going to score in the other, but he commands a double team, Scott, because UNLV did not double him. He had 30. Xavier barely doubled him. He had 26 in that game. Iowa State got real physical with Bennett Cook and kind of took him out of the game. But when you throw it inside, you got to command that double. You've got guys like Haldeman, Lowhouse, McLeod. Those guys can shoot threes, so it's an inside-outside action. That's the key. And Taiwan Pickford's a bit of a slump. Started off really strong. He struggled to shoot the ball lately. They need him to come out of that slump and look for Lowhouse in big role today. Haldeman probably questionable because he hurt his back. So Lowhouse is going to have to play a lot of minutes. And he's a guy, as Ben Jackson told me today, Wyatt Lowhouse can score at different levels. He can make the three. He can get into the free throw line area and make it. He'll get a couple baskets off steals. And he's one of those guys that can score at different levels and different areas of the game.
Important to get off a good start in league play, especially when you begin at home. That's true for you and I. It's true for Iowa State as well. The Cyclones, winners of nine in a row after sleepwalking, sort of going through the motions against Maryland Eastern Shore, open up the league slate against Kansas State at home, and then come back Monday against Texas. So, important for Iowa State to win those two, right,
especially
Kevin?
Since they're at home.
Yeah.
Oh, no question, guys. And this is an Iowa State team. You know, they've run off nine in a row since they made that switch with Nick Weiler-Babb to the point guard position. But you look at their schedule. They can get those at home, Kansas State, Texas. You know, it's always tough to beat a West Virginia or Kansas at home. Can you win a couple on the road? Because I really think 9-9 gets you in the tournament. If you're a 9-9 Big 12 team, that's ranked the number one RPI league in the country. 8-10 might even get you in, because they have six teams ranked in the top 25, two others receiving votes. This is as strong as I've seen the Big 12 from top to bottom in a number of years.
Kevin Lehman joining us here on the Gym Class Thursday edition here on KGYM. Iowa got some more bad news, not only the women, but the men's basketball team today as well. Connor McCaffrey. And you talk about a kid that's had a horrible first year medically. I don't recall anyone that's had a worse year than Connor McCaffrey. Now he's had a tonsillectomy. So going to be out for a little while because of that. They don't know exactly how long. They said today before the news conference that Fran McCaffrey had, they did some checking with the clearing office. If Connor McCaffrey plays one more game, that will constitute his freshman year. I guess the question to you, if you were Fran McCaffrey, do you play him or do you sit him out now?
I think you got to shut him down, Scott. How long does it take to get back from tonsillectomy? I don't know, and he's probably not fully recovered from the mono. I really think with Macy Daly playing as well as he has, that you're probably shut down Connor. Let him get ready for some spring baseball. Then he comes back, he's got four more years to play because, boy, this has been almost a wasted preseason or pre-conference season for Connor. And, it's January 1st here coming this weekend, guys. They've already got two Big Ten games. I think you shut him down. And this is a year where the Big Ten start everything early because they have to get into Madison Square Garden. So even their postseason tournament starts early. So that would be all the reasons I would say, let's give him a redshirt year, and he's got four to play.
Well, Iowa, similar to Iowa State, Kevin, and Northern Illinois tomorrow night, and then two Big Ten games at home. Important for Iowa to get back to even, isn't it?
Oh, no question. They're 0-2. That Penn State game really hurt them because you got to protect home court. And, you talk about the Big Ten. How many wins does Iowa have to get an NCAA bid? They don't have a strong showing in their non-conference. They're going to win over Colorado. Nothing else jumps out at you on their wins. And they've got some losses that are going to hurt them. So I think this is a team that's got to get don't have to get to 10 wins in the Big Ten to get considered an NCAA team. Because the Big Ten now, it is not as strong as it's been in the past. You've got two ranked teams in Michigan State and Purdue, and the bottom of the league has really struggled.
Maybe 10, but two in the tournament as well. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, and it may be coming down where, hey, they got to run the table when it comes tournament time for the Iowa Hawkeyes because they just have not gotten off to a good start. I really think it's going to be a good team, and I see them coming that way. They've cut down their turnovers. I like the way they're playing Nungy at that four along with Bear. Daly's coming on for him. So I think this is going to be one of those teams, if you're another Big Ten team, that you don't want to play, especially at Carver-Hawkeye Arena.
What'd you make of that Colorado game, Kevin, from the standpoint of Nungy and Kreener and Garza collectively were pretty much a non-factor? Was that just the matchups in that game?
Yeah, Nungy and Garza are freshmen, so they're going to be up and down, guys. That's typical of freshmen. They're going to hit the wall because every day you've got brutal practices. You've got scouting reports. It's as much a mental drain as it is a physical drain when you're a freshman because of all you have to absorb. And I know Fran McCaffrey is really detailed in their scouting reports, even give them quizzes about scouting reports. So that wears into young guys. They can pace themselves better after they get through it the first year. But I like the way Iowa kind of survived that game. They made the plays when they had to. And won that game against Colorado. That's something they hadn't done earlier against quality competition, has been able to make plays down the stretch, and they did that in that game.
This is the Omaha game, though. This is the one right ahead of the Big Ten that they lost last year, and I'm sure that has been reminded of the Hawkeyes. But Iowa starts off the Big Ten, a resumption of the Big Ten, with two at home, Michigan and Ohio State, probably two they'll be favored in. Then they go to Maryland, and Maryland, I mean, just moments ago came out with the statement Justin Jackson is now out for the season. They've had a doctor take a look at him, and a very good player, sophomore for Maryland, is going to miss the rest of the year. Iowa goes to Maryland right after Ohio State, and then they take on Illinois, and then go out to the rack to take on Rutgers. This is a doable start to the resumption of the Big Ten, especially now that Maryland's going to be down Justin Jackson.
Well, no question. I think the entire Iowa schedule set up very well for them, but you got to take care of business because Michigan is a difficult team to guard because of what John Beilein runs with his motion offense. And Ohio State is probably a surprise team in the Big Ten right now, as well as they have played underneath their new coach. And then Illinois, you got Maryland, Illinois on the road, Rutgers. Hey, those are all winnable games. I mean, you look at those first five games before they get Purdue at home, those are all very winnable games for the Hawkeyes. But have they grown enough as a team to be able to win those games? We're going to find out here in a couple days.
You go back to that Iowa State opener tomorrow night against Kansas State. And, Kevin, this is a Kansas State team that only lost by two to Arizona State, which is now the number three team in the country. So it's not going to be a cakewalk by any means.
Oh, no question. I think any time you laced up in the Big 12, whether you're playing at home, and especially on the road, it's going to be tough, especially with limited numbers that Steve Prohm has. You know, he's down to eight guys. So they can't have. They may even have seven if Hans Brace can't play in this game. I think Long is back, but that gives them a short bench. And Steve Prohm has been very successful with short benches, but if you get somebody in foul problems, somebody tweaks an ankle, that's going to create some problems. And Kansas State, like anybody else in that league, Oklahoma State, they're all good teams. And, you know, TCU, I believe they're still undefeated. You've got them as a new player in the league. Texas is getting better. Baylor's always got players, and you got to deal with guys like West Virginia and, of course, Kansas. It is a very difficult league, but it helps Iowa State in the fact that we talked about before. I mean, you don't have to – you get to 500, 8-10 in that league, you're going to be dancing in March.
Can Kansas be dethroned this year before we let you go?
I tell you what, guys, I thought when I saw them early, I went and watched them practice after Big 12 media day, that, like, wow, it's going to be Kansas' year again. But short on depth, short bench, they got some issues there. Their backcourt after Graham has got some question marks. If somebody can beat them in Lawrence, and that's what Bob Huggins has always said, Scott, we got to be able to go to Lawrence and get some wins because they dominate at home. Now, Arizona State beat them there. Can West Virginia, can Baylor, can those other teams go in and win in Lawrence? Otherwise, they got a one-game lead on everybody just because of Allen Fieldhouse.
TCU, I think, can do it. I don't know if they're going to be able to win it at Allen, but TCU is really good and really athletic, and Jamie Dixon can coach, so we'll see.
Oh, it has – There's a program that's risen from the ashes under Jamie Dixon.
Yeah.
What they've done has been tremendous. And I think West Virginia also gives Kansas problems with what they do, the way they play. So loosey-goosey, they've lost some close ones at Allen Fieldhouse, but that's another team, West Virginia. And, you know, Huggins will have his guys ready to play.
Are you a pregame popcorn guy, Kevin?
No, I'm not. I'm actually Panera Bread pregame guy.
Oh, there you go.
that triple chocolate cookie, guys. The triple chocolate cookie.
Well, have a good one tonight. You and I and Southern Illinois will have Rima's call tonight at 6:30. No, we'll talk to you next week. Kevin, enjoy the hoops.
All right, guys. You have a happy new year.
All right. Kevin Lehman joining us, our college basketball analyst here on the Gym Class at 3:42. We will have UNI Southern Illinois on the FMs tonight at 6:30, 107.5, 106.3 FM, live from McLeod Center. 6:30 on 1600 AM, the Iowa State Big 12 women's basketball opener as the Cyclones will entertain the Kansas Jayhawks. Mark Turgeon saying Justin Jackson out for the season now. He has a torn labrum in his right shoulder. It was worse than they first feared. 10 points a game for the sophomore. For Maryland, so that's going to be a big loss for the Terps, who I think are 11-3 right now, or 10-3, something like that, getting ready for the Big Ten. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We're going to check in with Kuhn, getting an update on what's happening in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl. Iowa State in Memphis. We'll do that when we come back here in the Gym Class, KGYM.
Having a real Christmas tree is the best.
Right? But how do we get rid of it?
Oh, that's easy.
It is?
Uh-huh. Just make sure all the stuff's taken off, you know, wires, tinsel, decorations, and your tree can't have any of that fake snow spray on it.
Got it.
Then just cut the tree into 3-foot sections, no larger than 2 feet in diameter, and set it out on your normal collection day. Or cut it up and fit it in your Yardie cart.
That's it?
Yep. The city of Cedar Rapids will be collecting trees now through January 31st.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from CR News Now.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Sign up for text alerts at crnewsnow.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
The 2017 football season isn't over yet.
Down the right sideline, Ryan. Still on his feet, 30, 20. Touchdown, Trevor Ryan.
It's the Liberty Bowl.
Across the 30, 25, 20. Murdoch on his feet. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown.
It's the Cyclones versus the Tigers.
The Cyclones knock off number 3, Oklahoma.
Tune in December 30th on the Cyclone Sports Network.
Pre-game at 9:30 on 1600 AM KGYM.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class on KGYM.
We'll give you the results for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. We know them now. After last night's bowl action, fresh batch coming up tomorrow of bowl games that Todd is picking, and the Todd Bravo Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with Kyle Mann sitting in for the aforementioned Alex Kuhn is coming your way next until 6:30 tonight right here on KGYM, because we've got all kinds of basketball coming your way this evening. Saturday, it'll be the Liberty Bowl. We will have Iowa State and Memphis. And interestingly enough, that, of course, is picked up as well by ESPN Radio. So we will have the Iowa State feed with John Walters and Eric Heft and company starting at 9:30. And at 11:30, we're going to have the national broadcast on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. So you get a couple different versions of the Liberty Bowl coming up. That's just kind of the way it goes at bowl time. And that'll be coming up on Saturday. Our embedded reporter down there, I don't think he's on Beale Street. I think he's probably watching the last 5 minutes of Virginia boat racing, or excuse me, Navy boat racing Virginia right now. That's our buddy Alex Kuhn. Alex, how are things in Memphis?
Things are going well, guys. And no, I have not made it down to Beale Street yet, but I do have another embedded reporter who I guess is working overtime for KGYM. Tell me, there's a lot of Cardinal and gold downtown on Beale Street right now.
Ah, yes. Well, they were tweeting out pictures at Graceland earlier today that it was just nothing but Cardinal and gold going through Elvis's mansion.
Yeah, there's plenty of fans down here, and it'll be interesting tomorrow because I know that in the past, the Memphis fans, when it gets cold or rainy, there's a few less of them. And I said if it's like that on Saturday, then Iowa State fans will outnumber Memphis fans. But I don't think it'll be like that because you're paying $85 for a bowl ticket as opposed to $10 Kroger tickets that you can usually get for a Memphis game.
Well, Alex, we've established that your brother is a starting right tackle for Memphis, and it's his final game. I'm curious to know how big a deal this is for Memphis, considering they don't have to leave town.
It's actually huge, because I talked to Gabe last night, and he was telling me, he's like, yeah, of course we're staying home. And I thought coming into this that it would be kind of a bummer to not be on the road, not be put up in a different city, but apparently, according to him, this bowl game has better accommodations than any bowl game that he's been to in the past, despite the fact that it's at home. It feels bigger. There's going to be a big time atmosphere as opposed to two of the last 3 years where they were playing in front of 15,000 people. And I think for the seniors that really helped build this program at Memphis, they get to play their final game on the stage that they've been so successful playing at. They've been undefeated at the Liberty Bowl this season. They've been really good there the past three seasons. So I just, you get the sense that the way that these guys have performed their entire career, especially at that stadium, that they're going to be ready for one finale inside Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium on Saturday.
It will be at least a half and half crowd, if not a little bit more Iowa State anyway, from all the indications. And it was announced today that it is a sellout. So how can you not get hyped up for playing in an atmosphere like that?
Well, exactly. I think there's going to be somewhere around 25,000 Iowa State fans, and the Memphis fans sold, or the Memphis allotment sold out as well. And I think the remaining tickets went to the community. So if there's going to be a sellout inside that stadium, and people forget this, a lot of people don't bring up the fact that this is the biggest bowl game that Memphis has ever been to. I know that this bowl game has been in Memphis for over 40 years, but the Tigers have never been to it. And they're playing a Power 5 opponent. They had a few weeks to a little bit over a month to flush the AAC championship heartbreak, and I think they're going to be ready to go. I saw yesterday that a lot of the guys were starting to stir the pot a little bit already. There was a bowl game press conference, and they had the two helmets sitting up on the table where they took the picture. Memphis and all the players were lined up. One of the players, Anthony Miller, their All-American wide receiver, turned the Iowa State helmet upside down to take the picture. So already starting a little bit of stuff. That's what he admitted that. He admitted to that, too. He was just trying to start some ish, as he said.
Great segue, Alex, because I want you to share Anthony Miller's story. This is the guy who's caught over 90 passes each of the last two seasons, 92 for 1,400 yards and 17 TDs this year. But there's more to this story, and I hope you can share it with us.
He was a walk-on from right here in Memphis, Christian Brothers High School. And I remember Gabe's freshman year, the summer before his freshman year, actually, when he moved into the dorms. I was asking about some of the players that were coming from that high school. I think there's three scholarship players and this walk-on kid. So I asked about the three scholarship players, and then I asked, "Do you know who this Anthony Miller guy is?" And he said, "Oh yeah, he's unbelievable." Well, I asked him, "Well, is he going to play? He's a walk-on. Is he going to play?" He's like, "Yes, he's going to be our best receiver." And he's really come on. I think it was his sophomore year. He was held out his freshman year because of a shoulder injury, and then his sophomore year, he really took off under Paxton Lynch. And this is just a guy with so much competitive spirit that, yes, he's 5'11", 190 pounds, and he didn't run a 4.340 out of high school, and apparently he had a little bit of a case of the drops in high school, so he didn't get recruited, and he walked on for Justin Fuente at Memphis and stepped on campus, and all of a sudden he was kind of the leader of the team after his freshman year where he was hurt. And when Mike Norvell came in and he was going to feature him as the top receiver, Norvell was a little bit different than Fuente because Fuente was a guy who liked to spread the ball to a bunch of different receivers. Norvell's a guy who likes to get the ball into his playmakers' hands, and that's why you're seeing the statistics that he's put up the last 2 years where he broke all of Isaac Bruce's records at Memphis last year, and then this year he's done it again. And he's a guy that if he's playing against a top-level corner, a top-level team, a top 25 team, you know that you can count on him for about 10 catches and 150 yards. He's done it against Ole Miss twice. He did it against Houston. He had 14 catches for 195 yards against UCF. He did it against UCLA. And you can go on and on and on, because when the lights are the brightest, he shows up and does his thing better than most in the country.
Well, Iowa State often plays that rush 3, drop 7 or 8. And I don't know if Memphis has faced that this year, or have they?
Not really. You see it a lot in the AAC as far as kind of that prevent type defense. But what Iowa State did against Oklahoma, which I think they're going to try to do against Memphis, is what confused Oklahoma so much is they went from a three-man front to a four-man front. And Oklahoma had no idea what hit them. And they flustered them, and they kind of sold out against the run and forced Baker Mayfield to have one more body in the box to elude, and it really confused Oklahoma. I think they're going to try to do that very similar thing at times to Memphis, because Memphis has average 280 yards on the ground the last five games. They average over 210 yards per game on the ground throughout the year. So I think there's going to be a little extra effort by Iowa State to stop that run, and that's going to put an extra onus on the wide receivers going up against what Gabe called the best secondary in Iowa State that they faced all season. So it's going to be a little bit of a chess match between two very good young coaches, and it will be a strange defense, Mark, in the sense that not only do they have that three-man front, but they have blitzing linebackers from all different angles of the field and all different sides of the field, and it's really sometimes, if you're not ready for it, can confuse the opposing offenses. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be a little bit of a high-scoring game, and we'll talk more about it coming up when we chat briefly tomorrow. But do you have that feeling as well?
I do. I think that it's going to come down to turnovers. And Memphis's defense, yes, they rank in the bottom third in a lot of statistical categories, but they're the second best team in the country in forcing turnovers. They forced 30 this season. And Iowa State, we just talked about their defense as one of the top defenses in the Big 12, but can they slow down the running attack and the passing attack of Memphis? I think whichever team forces more turnovers and creates more mistakes for the opposing offense is going to win the game. And if neither offense turns the ball over, I think we're going to see a really high-scoring game, similar to what Iowa State and Oklahoma State had in Ames earlier this season.
Oh, and by the way, Iowa State has not turned the ball over yet on a fumble this year. The only team in the country.
David Montgomery's pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Very good team. I think it's going to be a fun game, and you still have all your trappings you took down there. You're not going to distribute those until Saturday or Friday. What's the game plan?
Yeah, I brought it down here. I actually thought that I left it at home, and then my dad alerted me that he brought them. So
okay.
They're here. If people want to stop by the tailgate that we're going to have, if you can find us, I don't know where we're going to be because it's going to change. Usually we have our spot before a Memphis game, but it's not technically a Memphis game. It's a bowl game, so we're going to have to park somewhere else. We're going to sit somewhere else. It's going to be a little bit weird having the different accommodations at that stadium than we usually have, but it's going to be a great atmosphere, and if you want to stop by and grab some Hawkeye vodka, please do.
Right, we'll see how many do. I'm going to think not so many.
Over under 0.5. I'm
okay.
Going to go with under.
Over under 0.5. Even if Juan was helping you distribute it, so I don't know. That is the wild card in this whole equation. So, all right, Alex, have a good night, and we'll check in briefly tomorrow. How's that?
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Alex Kuhn, our own Alex Kuhn, joining us from Memphis, as he is down there for the Liberty Bowl, Memphis and Iowa State. Pick six. We have the results now in after last night's competition.
We do indeed. And Kyle Mann is our weekly winner. He went 4-2 and won a tiebreaker over myself and Alex Kuhn. All of us went 4-2, but Kyle is a weekly winner. And Jeff from Cedar Rapids is the winner of our Carl and Ernie's pick six gift card this week. Each team went 10-10, so no blood. And Gym Class retains a two-game lead in the team race. And I notice our friend Todd Brommelkamp just sent out this week's picks. And we're going to pick a bonus seventh game, Todd.
Oh!
Or Scott.
I'm excited about that.
How about that?
How about that? Should be interesting. Should be interesting. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. We'll check in with Alex one more time. Paul Clark will join us as well from CycloneReport.com as we talk more about the Liberty Bowl and look ahead to Iowa State's Big 12 men's opener tomorrow night as they host the Kansas State Wildcats. Big 12 women's opener tonight. Iowa State hosting Kansas at Hilton. We'll have it at 6:30 and 1600 a.m. UNI men's basketball, their Mo Valley opener against the Salukis of Southern Illinois. That comes up tonight at 6:30 as well on 107.5, 106.3 FM. Mind you, real quick, Jim has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization or charity has an event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Submit it to us here and go to kgymradio.com to go ahead and get that started. All right, Mark, we will do it again tomorrow at 3.
Enjoy the games, everyone.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Stay tuned. Todd's back. That's next, KGYM.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that causes...